Welcome, everyone, to We Have Issues, our weekly comic book podcast that opens the vault, feels the boom, weathers the aftershock, and marvels at every issue released this week. I'm your host, Keith, and I'm here to talk about all your favorite issues and publishers. But first, a bit of news this week. I have a couple things, not a lot, but a little bit of Deadpool news. Marvel's, of course, announced there's going to be a new Deadpool series in April. And it's going to be written by Cody Ziegler and art by Roger Antonio. I really like this idea. I think it's a really good idea. I love the last Deadpool run. And I think this is definitely something with a lot of potential. I really like Cody Ziegler. Roger is always an amazing artist, but I like Cody. I like Cody a lot as a writer. Killing it on Miles. Just, yeah, a lot of potential. And between Miles and this, and I think there's a new Spider-Punk series coming out. Cody's pretty busy. We'll see what's going on there. Related Deadpool news is that Deadpool co-creator, and I say that specifically for a reason, Rob Liefeld has announced that after Deadpool Bad Blood is over, he is done with the character. I have gone on record as not being a big fan of Rob Liefeld. I'll be honest with you, it's not specifically his art. It is his way of treating his collaborators that I was not a fan of. Basically refusing to acknowledge that he is the co-creator of Deadpool. Even in this goodbye to the character that he put on Twitter, he kept saying how he created, and completely ignoring Fabian. I'm sure it's a big thing for him. But I personally am happy Deadpool's in different hands, is what I'll say. So best of luck to him. And my last bit of news, unfortunately, is some sad news. We have lost at the age of 90, Jose Delbo, classic comic book artist. Most people probably know them from the Wonder Woman run from in the 70s and 80s. And you might not know the name off the top of your head, but you see his art, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. Also did some other stuff with DC, but then went over to Marvel and did some licensed runs, including the Thundercat series and the amazing Transformers run, which is one of the things I know him from, because I read every issue of that Transformers book. He also did a couple of the, like I said, the licensed stuff there, including NFL Super Pro, which I definitely read. But funnily enough, one of the things that he helped create was Brute Force, which is kind of it's hard to explain. You'll have to look it up, but it's kind of like a legend in Marvel history, is like kind of something that flopped really hard. I always thought it was great, but whatever. So, but yeah, rest in peace to him at the age of 90. And that is pretty much it. That's all the news I got. I'm trying to be quick with the news lately. So let's talk about comics. And of course, always, we don't start with a bang. We start with a boom, and Boom Studios is our first publisher. Just a heads up, I have several publishers this week, so we're going to do some quick fires as we get into the early ones. First of all, Boom. The only book I have for Boom this week is Sirens of the City, number 6. This is the finale of Sirens of the City. Written by Joanne Starer, illustrated by Kari Randolph, colored by Matt Herms, and lettered by Ann World Design. I really, really, I loved this book. I really started to love these characters. I really like Marisol. Marisol is probably my favorite character. I love her design, first of all, but I love her story. I love the role she plays. But obviously, the story is about Layla, you know, and it's about what's going to happen with her, and everything comes down to it. I'm not going to spoil the ending. As usual, I don't like to do so. But a nice, concise 6-issue story that I think anyone would really enjoy. This is something I would really recommend. The art is absolutely beautiful. The character designs are unique and interesting, and it's definitely something that I really would recommend everybody pick up. So, yeah, pick up Sirens of the City, and you won't regret it. Next publisher, Ablaze Publications. And once again, I got one book. This is The Agent, number 2, written by Matthew Gabella, art by Fernando Danguino, colored by Carlos Morote, and lettered by Vibrant Studios. This, you guys might remember me reviewing issue 1. That was kind of like a secret agent thing, but there's definitely something magic going on. We delve a little bit more into it, and we get an idea of like what the world is shaped like, and kind of like the direction we're going to go, the perspective we're going to see it from. I really like it. I thought it was an interesting idea. I always like spy stories, and I love spy stories with a twist, and that's what this is. And yeah, there's a little bit of a tale from the past as well. So I really like this. I think it's really cool. Blaze is doing really good right now. I really appreciate this book. So definitely a recommendation from me. Next publisher, and once again, only one book from Mad Cave Studios. And you know, if it's Mad Cave, there's a good chance it's The Devil That Wears My Face. In this case, number 4. This is written by David Popoz, art by Alex Cormack, letters by Justin Birch. Of course, this is the ongoing story of the Catholic priest who is body swapped with the demon Legion. And now he's in another body. He's trying to get his body back as the demon wreaks havoc across the entire Vatican. It's really cool. It's really bloody. I like this issue a lot. It was like a close call kind of thing. Like the setup of there's a rise in tension and there's a moment where you get your hopes up and then it gets crashed down. And there's a lot of really good stuff in this. I like the use of the holy ground, if you will. I don't want to spoil too much, but I thought that was a really cool plot point in the way that it worked. Just a really good book. I love David. I've made no secret of the fact that I love David. Alex's art is really good. They're just a really good match. I think this is an awesome horror book that everybody should be checking out. Next publisher, and once again, one book, Oni Press. And I picked up Jill and the Killers, number 1. Now, this is a book that I heard almost nothing about until I saw it on the shelf. And I was like, all right, I haven't picked up an Oni Press book in a while that didn't have the words Rick or Morty on the cover. So let me give it a shot. This one's written by Olivia Quartaro Briggs, illustrated by Roberta Ingranata, colored by Warnia K. Sahadeva and Rebecca Nolte, letter by Haley Rose Leon. This is really good. There's so much awesome potential in this book. And I already like what I always say potential as if it's not like accomplishing what it's trying to accomplish, but it is. It's very good. It's about a young girl overcoming this tragedy in her life and the fact that she was out of school for a long time and she's finally going back to school and her old friend group is there and it's not quite the same and she's trying to make it the same. And now there's a new girl there and she's obsessed with true crime and she's trying to get them onto true crime. And to adjust, she tries to do it as well. And she's balancing this horrific trauma in her life with this true crime investigating idea. And it comes with a, hey, solve this crime mail order thing that gets a little too real. It's really good. I love the art too. I really like the characters. The story is very interesting and it's got me hooked. It's my favorite Oni Press original story in a long time. I really like this a lot. Big recommendation, big thumbs up from me. This was close to my book of the week, but you guys will hear about my book of the week later and you'll know why it was, but definitely a recommendation. Pick it up. Next publisher, and once again, only one book, Dynamite Comics for Lilo and Stitch, number 1. Written by the wonderful Greg Pak, art by Julia Giacomino, and letter by Jeff Eckelberry. This takes place after the movie, and I love it. Lilo and Stitch is a movie that is very near and dear to my heart as far as Disney movies go. It's as a surfer, surf culture is a very important thing to me, and I always really love I love Hawaiian culture. I always have, and I've always loved this movie a lot. And the feeling, like the idea of family, you know, it's not something that is always in Disney movies. You know, it's not something that's the main focus of a lot of Disney movies. And this one's a lot of fun. If you like the movie, you're going to like this book. There's not a lot I can really tell you about it. It is obviously dealing with what's going on with Stitch later on afterwards and everything, you know, related to his past, I will say. So, but very good. I mean, it's Lilo and Stitch. I don't know what to tell you. You're going to enjoy it. If you like Lilo and Stitch at all, you'll enjoy this book. So, yeah, big recommendation. Oh, and the art. The art is really good. When they do these Disney adaptations, sometimes I worry. I'm like, oh, if they get an artist that can do it, it's seamless. Seamless. So big recommendation. You will not be disappointed if you are a big fan of the characters. All right. Next publisher is IDW. And what do you know? One book. Star Trek Picard's Academy, number 5. Written by Sam Maggs, art by Ornella Greco, colored by Charlie Kirchhoff, and letter by Jeff Eckelberry. Have I said lately how much I love this series? Like, I really do. I love this flashback to Picard's, Academy years. And I love this group of characters that he has around him. I think they're just so much fun. And it's a shame that this is probably just going to be a mini that's never followed up on, because I love them. I love Marty. I love her so much. I just love this book. It's really good. In this issue, they are learning to work together as a team during their test. And I just really like it. I'm someone who's pretty invested in the character of Picard as a Trekkie. And so obviously this is something I really enjoy. And it really rounds him out as a character. It makes him more of a well-rounded character in my head. And I really appreciate that. I need to watch the Picard series, speaking of which, I haven't seen it yet. I was watching Discovery and really liked it. And then I fell behind and I decided I'm going to rewatch all of Star Trek. And I decided to skip the original series and Next Generation because I've seen them 100 times. And I'm almost done with Deep Space Nine. And I just see Picard is 100 miles away, but I'll get there. But that being said, that's completely separate. So yeah, let's talk about another publisher. And of course, it is Distillery Media. This is Somna 2 by Becky Cloonan and Tula Latte, with colors by Lee Lefferidge, D. Cunniff, and Tula Latte, with letters by Lucas Gattoni. This, if I'm reading the credits right, this is only going to be a 3-parter. And it's absolutely beautiful and twisted and dark and grim. And it's just got these hooks in me, these deep hooks in them. Part of it's Tula's art. Tula's art is incomparable. There's no one draws like Tula Latte, is what I'll say. So, but even the alternate art, there's something to it that brings life to these characters. And there's such creeping dread. And oh my God. I don't even know how to explain it. But man, this book is good. It is good. I cannot stress how much I'm really enjoying this book. So definitely a book you guys want to pick up. All right. We're going to move on to Image Comic Books, everybody's favorite. All right. I got a couple Image books this week, so let me pull them up here. First of all, a debut, Moon Man number 1. This one, of course, the script is by Kyle Higgins and Scott Mascuti, a.k.a. Kid Cudi. Art by Marco Licati, colors by Igor Monti, and letter by Hassan Atsmani Elhau. I love the origin story that we got going here. I should say that the art is so good, and it reminds me of certain other books that I thoroughly enjoyed. A lot of science fiction, slight, near future books that are just absolutely really vivid. I'm trying to think of one that, like, Killtopia is really good. Or not Killtopia. Oh my gosh, my mind is going blank. I really liked it. What was that called? Oh man. No, it was Killtopia. Yeah. But anyways, this story, it's an origin story of a man getting powers, a pilot who works for a privatized version of NASA, and in this alternate future where this company controls all these things. And it's a personal story, but it's a personal story with wide-reaching implications. And that's a great idea. Like, that's a good format for a story, is to tell something big, small. And I love the way it's told. I think it's got such a promising start, and there's so many little seeds planted with some of these characters that I can't wait to see grow. I can't wait to see where this is going to go. Also a very big candidate for my book of the week. Unfortunately, it didn't win. You'll see what it did and you'll know why later. But very, very good. Great start. And also the track from Kid Cudi that came out for the first song of the soundtrack is fucking great. I love that song. So hell yeah. Music and comics. Love it. Definitely, definitely a pickup. You will want to get this book. After that is Eden Wood, number 4. Story and art by Tony S. Daniel, color by Leonardo Pacciarati, and letter by Nathan Kempf. Yeah, I'm enjoying this one. I'm not going to get too much into it because it is an issue 4. That's about when I kind of like let things speak for themselves. But it is really interesting. I love the way that the story plays with time. This one plays with it even a little bit more than normal as we go back further in a different direction and we see a newly familiar face, I guess is the best way I'd put it. And I really like the story that's being told there with this character, with the return, quote, of this character. I think there's something very intriguing about to happen. I've really enjoyed this book. It's a great epic fantasy story. It's violent. It's just so good. 2 thumbs up. After that is The Return of Dark Ride, issue number 10. I love this book. Created and written by Joshua Williamson, created and drawn by Andre Bresson, color by Adriana Lucas, and letter by Pat Brasseau. This is continuing, of course, the story of Devilland, this amusement park based around the devil, created by a man who sold his children's soul to the devil, essentially. And this is the start of the new arc. And I love that you have the son, Sam Hain. He seems to be the sane one in the group. And all he wants to do is rescue his daughter, Autumn. And you have Halloween, who I absolutely adore, but is also kind of a piece of crap. But I also kind of get where she's coming from because she's like, listen, you know, do you think I wanted to be named after a Halloween or after Halloween, after a holiday? I get where she's coming from, but obviously she's leaning more towards the evil side of it. Really interesting story. And this is Sam rescuing his daughter, Autumn. That's the story of the season. So really appreciating it. I love this book. I was really worried this would be a 6-issue mini and we're up to 10 and I can see it keep going. Big recommendation if you're a horror fan out there. I think it's going to be something really cool. And there's some bloody stuff in this one, too, I should mention. Very, very violent. Very, very cool. Next up is Duke, number 2, written by Joshua Williamson, art by Tom Riley, color by Jordi Belair, and letter by Russ Wooten. So this is following up on the Duke story for the Energon universe. And after Duke going on the run, after his running with the Transformers in the last issue, he's all alone and he needs backup. So he reaches out to an old friend. And I dug this. It's a great character development moment for Duke to let us get to know him better. And it also shows that, you know, he's not invincible and that things will catch up to him. He's not going to be able to take on the entire U.S. government by himself. And he might have to work within the system. And I think that's pretty cool. I like the way they're drip feeding us these characters and introducing them. It's very smart. And I'm digging it. I haven't read a G.I. Joe comic book in well over a decade. And I'm really enjoying this. So thumbs up. Next up is Local Man number 9. Created and written by Tony Fleeks and Tim Seeley. Art by Tony Fleeks and Tim Seeley, with colors by Brad Simpson and Felipe Sobrero. And that's it, yeah. So this is kind of wrapping up the local girl story. And it's so good. Okay, I love this book. I absolutely love it. I talk about every time the homage to the classic Image and everything. That's obviously on the surface what it is. But the humor, the character work, there's so much going on here. And also, Local Man, without fail, will almost always have my favorite page of the week. And there's one in this one where he is in the Uber driver's truck and the conversation they have about Faye. And I just laughed my ass off reading it. because I was like, yes, this is one of the funniest things I've read in a long time. And I was trying to think the last time I read something that funny. It was last time I read Local Man. I love this book. The balance of humor and action is so good. It's just awkward and fantastic. What a book. Yeah, everybody should be reading this. Next up is The Dead Lucky, number 11. This one's written by Melissa Flores, art by French Carlomagno, color by Mattia Iocono, and letter by Becca Carey. I'm not going to talk about this one too much because it is a number 11. We're getting close to the end of an arc. But I love BB. I really, really like BB. And this is a story about BB, you know, being out of commission temporarily and having a, if you will, come to Jesus moment. I thought it was really cool. It sets up the next bit of the story and develops her character very well. A character that I'm attached to, a character that I really enjoy. So very good stuff. Dead Lucky's so good. And yeah, I just, God, the Massiverse just always hits, doesn't it? I've never read a Massiverse book I didn't like. And this is just one of the others. It's really, really good. And finally, World Tree, number 7. Written by James Tynion IV. Art by Fernando Blanco. Color by Jordi Belair. And letter by Aditya Bidikar. World Tree is not a comic book. World Tree is an experience. And it's messing with me. It's so good. I just want to start there. It's so good. And the way it's unraveling this story, the way it's diving into all these characters, because it's a lot of characters. It's a lot of characters to explore. And it's doing a wonderful job of that. And I love everything about this book. The art is incredible. I like that the titular naked woman from the previous issues doesn't even really appear in this issue, but her presence still kind of looms. And I was just kind of waiting for her to come back. And she does seem like maybe she had a very brief appearance off camera. But yeah, I love this book. It's so good. And I like that it's realistic and fantastical at the same time. Like, it's very realistic that something on the internet is going to in society, basically. But it's unrealistic that it's something like what's in this book. Or is it? I don't know. But what a book. What a book. Two thumbs up, always. And now we're moving on to another publisher, and we're going to talk about a DC Comics. Very small DC week this week. First of all, Alan Scott Green Lantern, number 4. Written by Tim Sheridan. Penciled by Sean Thormy. Inked by Jordi Tarragona, Raul Fernandez, and John Livesay. Colored by Matt Herms, and letter by Lucas Gattoni. Oh my gosh. After the big reveal of the last issue, Alan finds out the truth of his lost love and now arch nemesis. And it's so bittersweet. And I love it. I love the way it's done. I love the doubt it's planted in our minds about his motivations. That we have ostensibly this undercover spy who was always a bad guy, who was always using Alan. And that's just the black and white that we're told, but the visual storytelling of the art just tells another story. It tells us there's something else there. There's a doubt there. There's something deeper. And God, what a story. It was really emotional, really good book. I really enjoy this. Probably the best chapter in this book, which has been a very good book. And man, it's only 2 issues left. I don't know how we're going to wrap this up. And I just feel so bad for Alan. It's so good, though. After that is Batman and Robin Annual 2024. This one is so much fun. Written by Joshua Williamson, art by Howard Porter, color by Rain Brito, and letter by Steve Wands. Damian and Bruce go on a camping trip to father and son bond, and it goes badly. But was it meant to? That's a question. But it's so good. I love the two of them together. I love this dynamic. I've gone on record that Damian's my favorite Robin. And I've always loved Damian as Dick's Robin when Dick was Batman. But I'm really growing to love Bruce and Damian together. And for someone like me who does not like Bruce Wayne, that's a big deal. That's a really big deal for me to start to like Bruce and to really embrace this this connection they have. And so I think this run, this Batman and Robin run, has done a really good job of that. And this book, this issue is no exception. I really thought it was a lot of fun, and it really showcased the kind of things they have in common, and in a lot of ways, things they have in common that neither of them have in common with anyone else in the Bat family. And I think that's super important and very appreciated. After that is the Trinity Special. I'll be very quick with this one because it is just a reprint of all the Trinity backstories that were in, I think it was in Nightwing, but introducing this character Trinity as the next generation of Wonder Woman. Creative team, I'll run through the names. I got Tom King, I got Belen Ortega, I got Alejandro Sanchez, Clayton Cowles, Daniel Sampier, and Tomi Mori all contributed. I love this. I wasn't going to pick it up because I'm like, oh, it's just a reprint. But then I'm like, you know what? No, I want this because it's a cool collection, this character. And one day this is going to be really cool. So a really great cheat sheet. If you weren't picking up Nightwing and you want to know about Trinity, I highly recommend it. Lots of great stories with her and John and Damian that just really develop those characters and really show them to be a new, you know, a Trinity, if you will. And so very, very cool. Finally, the final issue of Titans Beast World number 6. Oh God, here we go. Just so much happened. And it was good. It was, for the most part, this was a very good issue, one that I thoroughly enjoyed. Creative team, written by Tom Taylor. Pencil by Ivan Reis and Lucas Meyer and Eduardo Pancica. Inked by Danny Meekie, Lucas Meyer, and Julio Ferreira. Excuse me. Colors by Brad Anderson and Romeo Fardo Jr. And letter by Wes Abbott. So this is going to be a spoiler review. I'm just going to let you guys know because it's the end of the story and I want to make sure we talk about it going forward. The main worry I had with this crossover was it was going to be the Titans' first crossover and it was going to be, guess the Titans can't do it, let's bring in the Justice League, which this was not. And I'm very appreciative of that. I really appreciate that we did not go that direction. Very much the Titans have things under control as much as anyone ever has anything under control. So I totally get that. And I really, really liked it. Lots of great character beats. I love what they've been doing with Donna Troy since they reformed the Titans. As someone who does not like Donna Troy, it's a character that I wanted to like. It's a character that I wanted to see used correctly, and I just didn't care about her. And to see her used correctly was really, really cool, and I like her in this. I like Starfire so far and a lot of what she did, especially in the Titans book itself. But of course, this story is about Raven. The story is about Raven, and it's about Garfield. And they find a way to bring Gar back. Spoilers, I said. I was kind of sure that was going to happen. Like from the very beginning when they killed him, I was like, he's not dead. He's coming back. It just felt a little telegraphed. But other than that, I'm happy he's back because I love him. There's a Raven twist, and I guess I'm not going to spoil that. But there's a Raven twist that was really interesting. And leading into the future of the DCU with the moves that Amanda Waller is making, I'm very curious to see the impact it's going to have. I'm very curious to see when the other shoe is going to drop is what I'll say. So, but very cool, very well executed, executed crossover. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm a big fan of crossovers when they're done well. And I think this is pretty great. I loved the highlight issues for each city. I thought that was a good way to do it. Yeah, very, very cool. So Beast World gets a thumbs up for me. It will probably be nominated for best crossover of the year at the end of the year. So very, very good. I'm curious to see what everybody else thinks. It's the kind of thing that I don't know what others' opinions are out there because I'm not seeing a lot of people talking about it, like giving opinions. So let me know, please. All right, that's going to wrap up DC, only 4 books. So let's talk about our final publisher, which as always is Marvel Comics. Marvel Comics, and the first, as always, we start with our Star Wars books. And we're going to talk about my book of the week, guys. Star Wars Dr. Aphra number 40, the final issue. Written by Alyssa Wong, art by Minku Jung, color by Rochelle Rosenberg, and letter by Joe Caramagna. When we started this show and we started deciding what books we were going to review, I was getting back into comics after a while. I was reading comics, but only like 3 or 4 a month. And I decided, okay, which books am I going to start reading? And early on, I was like, I'm not going to read any Star Wars. There's just too many. And then I had someone recommend Dr. Aphra to me and say, you know, it's an original character. There's not a lot of baggage. She's a lot of fun. You should pick it up. So I started reading it, and I love it. Dr. Aphra is one of my favorite Star Wars characters, period. And this run has been amazing. This is a run I've followed the entire life of this show. So I've been reading this for, 300, 400 episodes of my podcast. I've been reading this book, and it's come to an end, and I'm sad to see it go. Based on the ending, it does appear like the character is going to be coming back in some form. I haven't seen an announcement or anything yet, but Alyssa Wong will be moving on from it. And I'm excited for the opportunities Alyssa has to do something different, but I will miss Alyssa on this book. I think not just Alyssa, Minkyu Jung's art is so good. And I can picture Aphra in my head. I can picture multiple panels from this book just from memory immediately, just with these great, and not just that, but every other character, Sana, Just Lucky, just so many great characters. And yeah, it's sad to see them go, but I hope to see this again, and I cannot wait to see the future of it. But as a final, you know, thank you. Thank you to this whole creative team, everybody involved in it. This book got me back into Star Wars comics. And I don't know if I'd be reading The High Republic without Dr. Aphra. I would not be reading any Star Wars books if it wasn't for Dr. Aphra. And now I don't know if I'd be into Star Wars again without Dr. Aphra, to be honest with you. But here I am. So thank you. My book of the week, Dr. Aphra number 40. Next up is Marvel Voices Legends number 1. This is the Black History Month version of the Voices. I'm just going to read the creative teams as just to go through it. We're not going to talk about them too much in as a whole. John Jennings, David Walker, Eder Macias, Jonas Trindad, Andrew Dollhouse, Angelique Rook, Justina Ireland, Karen S. Darbo, Carlos Lopez, Ezra Clayton Daniels, Sean Damien Hill, Oren Jr., Espen Gruntinger, Cherie Renee Thomas, Julian Shaw, Carlos Lopez, and do we have a letter? Letter by Ariana Mayer. Perfect. Okay. Lots of stories in this one. I'll briefly talk about each of them. There's some I'm going to talk about a little bit more, specifically the Patriot one. I'm a big Eli fan. I've always been a big Eli fan going back to Young Avengers. So seeing him kind of get a spotlight and see him actually mattering again is really important to me. And I really, really appreciated that. There's a great Deathlok story as well. Deathlok's never been my favorite character, but it was a really cool twist on the character that I thought was awesomely told. There is a really good Daughters of the Dragon story, which is another group of characters that are very important to me. Heroes for Hire, the four of them, I've always been just some of the top tier characters for Marvel for me. So really like that. And there was also a really cool future story about the possible grandchildren for Black Panther. And I thought that was really cool as well. And it definitely, if this is canon, it definitely tells me something about the future of the character and who he ends up with, is what I'll say. So very cool. Really enjoyed it. I love the Voices. They're all great books. Next up is Marvel Superheroes Secret Wars Battle World number 3, the longest comic book title in the world. Written by Tom DeFalco, art by Pat Oleaf, colored by John Calise, and letter by Joe Caramagna. I'm not going to get too much into it because it's an issue 3 of 4. But it does have the showdown of the heroes versus the villains. And I do love the disorganization of the villains to the point that they're not even on the same page. Zemo's got his own idea of what he wants to do. It's really, really great. I also like the way that the heroes are kind of chippy with each other. They're not like best friends because they don't have that relationship yet. They're kind of talking trash to each other and not fully trusting each other, which is good. I really appreciate that. So very fun. It's going to be a nice 4-issue mini, kind of fill in the blanks literally between panels, but definitely enjoyable. Next up is a couple of Avengers books. Let's start with Avengers Twilight number 2. This one is written by Chip Zdarsky, it's by Chip Zdarsky and Daniel Kuhn with letters by Corey Petit. Continuing this alternate future story where this older Captain America is trying to bring freedom back to the world, a world that is controlled by the media, controlled by the government, and people are told what to think and told that everything is very censored. The messages they're given are very controlled, and is really interesting, really well told. And I love the idea that it's not as simple as Captain America coming back and telling people that they need to fight for their rights. It's not that simple. Some people are very comfortable in being complacent and being told what to do. And I could see that would bother somebody like Steve Rogers. So I liked the story a lot. I thought it was super well told. And I'm definitely more intrigued about what else is going to happen in this book after this issue than I was in the last issue. I did like the last issue, but I was kind of like, oh, I can see where this is going. But now I'm kind of like, I don't know. What's he going to have to do here? I thought it was really cool. And it's a great next step and an escalation of the story. So after that is Avengers Inc. number 5, the final issue, unfortunately, written by Al Ewing, penciled by Leonard Kirk, colored by Alex Sinclair, and letter by Corey Petit. You guys should have bought this book. It was so good. Bringing to end the end of this story, the big revelation of who Victor is, and I really like this book. I like the use of all these C-list villains. I like Wasp being the center of a book. I like all the guest star characters and the things they got to do, and they got to come back in this issue. Really, really great book. And bringing back some Avengers lore that I won't spoil for you because I want everybody to go back and buy the trade and maybe we'll get more of this. But big thumbs up for this book. This should have been way bigger. I do not understand why people didn't buy this book, but I also don't understand why they didn't buy Scarlet Witch. I don't know. Maybe I'm different than everybody else, but what a book. Very good job to the entire creative team. I was on board. After that is some Spidey books. First of all, Spine Tingling Spider-Man number 4, written by Saladin Ahmed, art by Juan Ferreira, and letter by Joe Caramagna. This one is the finale of the 4-part series of this creepy horror-filled series. And Peter finds out, of course, who's the threat, who has been making his life a living hell, and it is the Jackal. The Jackal is a Spider-Man villain that, surprisingly, I generally don't care about that much. Considering that I am actually the world's biggest Gwen Stacy fan, I don't really care about the Jackal. I never have. But I think this is a really good story. I think it definitely added an eerie creepiness to the character, and it made me think of him more than just, oh, Miles Warren cloning a bunch of bitches. Like, it's different. It was very eerie. And the use of Spider-Side and Mysterio, I thought, or Quentin Beck, I should say, was very inspired as well. So very cool, creepy story. I love the art. It's so eerie. And Saladin is a really good match to the art. I think they had a really good vibe going. After that is Spider-Boy 3, written by Dan Slott, with art by Paco Medina and Ty Templeton, with colors by Eric Arcenega and D. Cunniff, letters by Joe Caramagna. Continuing the story of Bailey Briggs, new Spider-Boy, and the adventures of Spider-Boy. And I love the idea of like how everybody forgot Spider-Boy, and he's like, there's these villains that are specifically his villains that don't even remember him, and they're like discovering him again, which I thought was really a lot of fun. I like Bailey. I know that he got some crap because he got his own series right away, and there's no like Spider-Woman at the time series, but I like Bailey. Let's give him room to breathe. Let's explore it a bit. There's also a backup story with Thor. I like that the backup stories are like him teaming up with Avengers. And it's done in a really fun way this time. So very good. Thumbs up. Next up is Miguel O'Hara, Spider-Man number 5, 2009, or Spider-Man 2099, number 5. This is the end of the horror run that we've been getting with all these monsters. Written by Steve Orlando, art by Stefano Raffali, color by Raul Angulo, and letter by Corey Petit. And we cannot have a horror story in the Marvel Comics without Man-Thing showing up. And this new Man-Thing is absolutely insane looking. Basically like the phalanx take over Man-Thing. It's such a cool visual. It's the kind of thing I want to show Josue and be like, look at this. I love the concept of his powers, of what he can do. Basically, he can erase your existence from the internet, like from all data, erase all your data. I'm like, that is dope. Especially in 2099, and that's the whole existence of it. Very cool. I really enjoyed it. This whole run has been a lot of fun. You know, having these different artists come in and do their own thing, I thought it was great. This is a great way to wrap it up because Man-Thing is so great. It does look like we are getting some more Miguel O'Hara this year, and I'm all here for it. I love 2099. That was the first Spider-Man that hit with me as a kid. I was like, he looks dope. So, yeah, very cool. Our only Gang War book of the week is Deadly Hands of Kung Fu number 2, written by Greg Pak, art by Kayo Mahato, color by Jim Campbell, and letter by Travis Lanham. I love this book. I love Shang-Chi. So seeing him, I wish he had his own book again because they were so good. But this is good. Him being a part of this series is really dope. And just him being so smart, being clever with the way he works, and balancing working both sides of the law is just really cool. And it's definitely something that we're not really seeing right now. We had it a bit with the last Daredevil run, but it's not really that anymore. And just seeing him, yeah, again, just be this balancing force in the middle of gang war and his fellow heroes not really being on board with it. I think it's really cool. Very good book. And more Shang-Chi, please. Next up is my X-Books. Let's start with Dead X-Men number 1. You sons of bitches. Written by Steve Fox. Art by Jonas Scharf, Bernard Chang, Vincenzo Carotto. Color by Frank Martin, letter by Corey Petit. After they killed all the newly elected X-Men, essentially, at the Hellfire Gala, and I was so annoyed by it, they get their own book, and they get resurrected, and they have a mission that is related to what is going on in the fight against Orcus. And it's a really cool hook. I love these characters. There's so many characters in this book that I absolutely adore. And so that's why I was really annoyed I wasn't getting an X book with those characters. So getting one is really, really interesting. Lots of dimensional travel is what I'll say. I'm not going to spoil it. And a definitely escalation in the story of Moira McTaggart is the two bits I'll throw out there. Very cool. Lots of promise. Something I'm really looking forward to reading more of. And after that is Wolverine 42, which is Sabretooth War Part 2. I've gone on record to say this is a really violent book and it's not really for me. But I am still reading it and I am enjoying it. It's just not what I'm looking for, but I'm a reviewer and I can look at things outside of my own personal opinions or my personal taste and see the value in them. And there's definitely value in this book for those who this is you for. So I'll explain. Written by Benjamin Percy and Victor Laval, penciled by Corey Smith, inked by Oren Jr., colored by Alex Sinclair, and lettered by Corey Petit. This is continuing all these multidimensional sabretooths attacking the new mutant base that Wolverine has set up and just slaughtering mutants in just violent, horrible ways. And it is dealing with X-Force fighting back, X-Force, you know, trying to stop it, with Wolverine specifically obviously doing some really grim stuff, especially to himself, as Wolverine is wont to do, to try to stop them. I do like that I didn't have to just watch a bunch of my favorite mutants get slaughtered in this issue, as they did last issue, which is good. But very cool, very interesting, and super bloody, super violent. If that's your thing, if that's what you want from Wolverine, which a lot of people do, then this is a book for you. I don't hate it. I actually am liking it. It's just sometimes I'm just like a little too much for me, but definitely something you might enjoy. All right. Those are the issues that we had this week. Make sure to check us out on Twitter. You can find me at WHI Podcast Keith. You can find our producer Liz at WHI Podcast Liz. And you can find Hostway at Hostway Reads Hostway. You can find the show itself at WHI Podcast on Twitter. That is the best place to follow us to keep up with everything going on. You'll get an announcement when the new episode comes out, timestamps for each publisher, and a list of every issue reviewed. Make sure to follow the other show, Jukebox Vertigo, at Jukebox Vertigo. That is our musical show where we talk about different musical categories with a group of guests. The most recent episode that came out was our Christmas episode. But the next episode that will be coming out, which hopefully will be later this week, is an episode about boy bands. We are going to define what is a boy band. And it's harder than you think, as I'll tell you from my research. So hopefully you'll check that out once again on Twitter at Jukebox Vertigo. Also follow our network at Certain POV on Twitter. They're at Certain POV Media, and they're also at certainpov.com. Go on there. You might find your next favorite podcast. There's a lot of great ones on there, and I recommend them all. So make sure to go on there. Also join the Discord. Our Discord is on there. There's a link. We have a bunch of fun. We talk about everything geeky and have a great time together. So everybody's welcome as long as you're not an asshole. So definitely check that out. So don't forget to bagboard and box your new treasures, and we'll see you next week at the new batch of beautiful books. Stay safe and read more comics.
Have you ever sat on a long commute or a dull day in the office and let your mind wander back to the days of rectangle pizza, bowls and bowls of sugar cereal, and gushing over your favorite cartoons and movies in school, and worrying that those favorites from childhood won't hold up today? Well, the Saturday Morning Confidential podcast answers those questions for you. Host Maddie Limerick sits down with artists and creators of today to pull back the veil of nostalgia, to talk about what's great and what we would change in hindsight years later. So pull on your comfiest PJs, pour yourself a bowl of your favorite cereal, and take a deep dive into the files of Saturday Morning Confidential, releasing bi-weekly on Saturdays, available on your favorite podcast platforms and at certainpov.com.